Good evening, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's good to see each of you in the sanctuary tonight, and I thank you for your presence here. And for those of you who are at home, wherever you may be, in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, we send love and gratitude for your presence, and special warm and loving blessings to all our homebound beloveds. Tonight, we gather on the cusp of Thanksgiving. 2 weeks from tonight will be Thanksgiving Eve, and we'll hear a passage of Scripture that is traditionally interpreted in terms of the one person who can teach us how to be thankful, the one Samaritan who's healed, the one leper out of the ten who's healed, comes back and gives thanks to the Lord. So we reinterpret this in an interesting way for our lives. Also, one announcement for everyone that we have a one-day centering prayer retreat this Saturday, and we welcome all to participate on Zoom. You can register for that online on our church homepage under events and retreats and look for that. It starts at 9 o'clock and concludes at 3. It's a wonderful way to enter into the silence together in community. Well, I thank you for your presence here on this beautiful evening in November in Austin. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us tonight, to be our teacher. And through this service, may it feed the world with love, wisdom, and consciousness. And so we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity.
Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." May this reading nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
This is such a famous story, and I remember it as a child, how it touched me and reminded me to never forget to give thanks, to be the one that comes back to say thank you. It left an impression on my little moral formation because I really liked the Samaritan leper who got healed and came back. And as I've grown and unfolded in the spiritual journey, the work tools have given me new ways of understanding this passage, and I'd like to share 3 perspectives on this passage that I have learned as I've pondered this passage. And they can be described in 3 words: boundaries, blessings, and balance. Boundaries, blessings, and balance. So the first thing to observe is that boundaries are extraordinarily important in maintaining health. Psychologically, emotionally, physically. The healthy cell has a surface that protects it from being invaded by unhealthy cells. So when a cancer cell comes knocking at the door of a healthy cell, the healthy cell doesn't say, "Come on in." The healthy cell says, no, I draw a line here. My very cell encases my health from your dis-ease and dysfunction. A very important boundary. And health couldn't occur without physical cellular boundaries. In fact, you might say nothing embodied could exist without boundaries. Imagine if nothing had a boundary and that everything just merged into oneness physically. Trees turning into dogs, turning into humans, turning into apples, turning into rocks. Everything would just blend together like some soup. Boundaries make physicality possible. In a similar way, boundaries make emotional and psychological health possible. So where's the insight here? Notice that the lepers stay a distance away from Jesus, and Jesus doesn't go and touch the lepers as he does in other situations. He stands apart from them and simply speaks to them from that space, that boundaried space. I find that to be a very insightful guide for us as we deal with situations where there's dysfunction, dis-ease in relationships, in people's dynamics, that there's a value in creating space and not merging into their dysfunction or dis-ease. And it turns out that the very space becomes the place where healing can occur. So boundaries, rather than blocking people, actually bring healing to people. And first of all, this requires seeing the situation for what it is, seeing it and understanding it. To see it is to free it. And then the second idea is the notion of blessings. And this comes to us, this word that says, and the one realized that he was healed and he returns to go give thanks. It's as if he and he alone realizes that he's been healed and goes and gives thanks. Well, the word for realization is very interesting. It's the Greek word for seeing, which is horao, which at its root is where we get theoreo from, which is the Greek word for contemplation. So this one person sees more clearly into the situation, and that insight, that seeing brings a freeing, and the feeling of that awareness brings healing. And that to me suggests this beautiful gift of a blessing that comes to us when we see ourselves honestly and we acknowledge what we see, instead of hiding from ourselves or hiding from reality, to simply acknowledge what we see, not be afraid of what we see, and to then go do something about what we see. And in this case, the blessing of him seeing himself being healed was to go give thanks and to return to the source what he had been given. And then the third idea that speaks to me from this passage is the notion of balance. And most of the time we tend to praise the one who returns and forget about the nine. And even Jesus seems to hint at this, like asking this question, where are the other nine? Well, we don't know what the tone of voice was, because it could be from a work perspective, everything is eating something and sacrifice was required for anything to occur. So what if we reinterpreted this scene not as how bad the nine are and how good the one is, but in order for there to be 10% return to God, 90% has to be sacrificed. For this one, nine had to, so to speak, dissolve into nothingness. That this sense of sacrifice that is required for awakening, that not everyone gets the awakening, not everyone gets the gold, not everyone gets the realization, not everyone gets the seeing and the freeing, but 9 out of 10 are required, to, so to speak, as a sacrifice just to have the fruit of one who awakens, receives the blessing, and returns to live a life of balance and harmony and awakeness. So if you think about it in that sense, that everything is eating something, that sacrifice is required, and that so much of our lives is built on the back of those who have died and sacrificed for us. On this Veterans Day, if you just think about all the hundreds of thousands of men and women who have died for just a few people to breach through a beachhead, for example, in Normandy. Now think about that. The vast amount of sacrifice and death on this planet that has gone before us in the 10,000 years of recorded human history, all of that death and suffering that has brought us to this place in human evolution of such benefit and blessing. Think about all the people who sacrificed their lives pioneering this country. All the people who died in the Civil War. All the people who have given up themselves to disease, to forward their families, taking care of the sick. Think about it. How could we not return thanks in the light of all the vast balance of sacrifice that has accrued to our balance sheet, and we've done nothing to deserve it except be alive right now? And I think this is a very useful work reframing of this passage, that it is so easy to get so self-absorbed and so focused on our life, so concerned about what's happening in the culture, so happy that this person won and this person lost, so concerned about this or that, that we get so caught in the moment that we can't return thanks. And perhaps that's something of the lesson that these nine perhaps teach us, that they live in distraction and miss the awakening and the returning and the experience of giving thanks. If you're constantly living in lack and grasping for what you don't have and resisting reality, it's very hard to be thankful. But it seems to me that part of the magic of life is shifting from fear to gratitude. And just that shift of mentality from fear to gratitude changes the brain chemistry. And as we know, as our brain changes, so our life changes. And so just the simple act of learning how to cultivate gratitude in the moment of fear, something I'm working on, just to turn the thought from fear to gratitude, to be the 10%, not the 90%, to recognize all that has gone before me and stop complaining or grieving or fearing. The cycle continues. The cycles just keep on going. The news just keeps on churning. Nothing changes. Different people taking the scene, taking the stage, but the cycle of sleep and energy sucking us dry continues. So what breaks us out of those cycles? Gratitude. Gratitude lifts us up out of ourselves, and we can experience balance, healing, and extraordinary blessings and insights. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say. What is the Spirit imprinting in your heart tonight? Thank you for your presence here tonight. It's a blessing to be in the spiritual community, in the cloud, and here in this room of the sanctuary. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and His sacrifice heal all of us and draw us into deep gratitude by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.